Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
When 29-year-old Danish footballer Christian Eriksen collapsed from a cardiac arrest during a Euro 2020 championship match, he later confirmed that he had, as he described it, gone from the world for 5 minutes. Swift action was crucial to his survival, and he was brought back through a combination of CPR and an electric shock from a defibrillator, and his story shone a light on the importance of CPR training. Now, here in Ireland, there's a growing network of local groups getting involved in this life-saving work too. And Evelyn O'Rourke went along to a training session to find out more. So Evelyn, you headed to meet the team in Newbridge in County Kildare.
Claire, I have to warn you, Baby Shark. Okay, let's just put a pin in Baby Shark for a minute.
Ah, for the rhythm.
You're going to be leaving the studio singing Baby Shark because
well
I've been doing
it
for 2 days. Yeah, exactly. You're like, I come to work for a break. Yes, I went along to a training session for the community first responder team there in Newbridge. And a first responder is a person, Claire, trained in basic life support and the use of a defibrillator who actually attends actual or potentially life-threatening emergencies. But the really interesting bit about this kind of community network group is that they're linked in officially with the National Ambulance Service. So in a nutshell, it's a group of local volunteers in an area who are trained up and they go and work and help with incidents in their community. So I went along to Newbridge on Tuesday night where the group there was meeting up for a regular training session. You'd hear lots of beeping machines and mannequins being pumped everywhere. And I started with getting the background to it all from the group coordinator and chairman, Paul Maguire.
6, 27, 28, 29, 30.
Apply pad to patient's bare chest. Stay clear of patient. Deliver shock now. If needed, begin CPR.
So the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of every month, we'd get together, all the community first responders. We practice CPR and choking. We practice so much that we don't get it wrong. We just keep practicing until we get it right.
The idea behind this is what? Because we all know the 999 number. Explain what your role is within that whole system.
So we're all just normal working people in the community of Newbridge. Very few of us have any medical background as such. So in the event of somebody within the area of Newbridge ringing 999 or 111, we're alerted and we're the first response.
If I'm at home and somebody collapses and I need the help of an emergency service, at the other end of that call, you're somewhere in the system that they can draw on.
So 85% of cardiac arrests happen in the home. So if you're at home and somebody has a cardiac arrest or chest pains or suffers a stroke in your house, you ring, you're put through to ambulance control. Ambulance control will tell you what to do next. Find out where your nearest AED is, or they may ask you to try and start doing chest compressions. At that stage, they already have alerted. It could be a fire brigade if you're in Dublin, because we're outside the area. It's usually National Ambulance Service that comes to. We would be in work. We could be at home. We could be in bed. We could be watching television. We get an alert to our telephones telling us the incident that you've been involved in. And because we work within our community, we have an area of operation, generally between 5 to 10 kilometres of a circle. We are a first response, so we get there first and we start the chain of survival. If it's chest pains, we send two responders. If it's a cardiac arrest, it's all hands on deck, so we normally would send four people if they're available. The next thing you would see at your door is four of us or two of us knocking on your door with a yellow jacket on and a defibrillator in our hand. Basically from there, starting either chest compressions or needs be, we'll end up putting an AED on people and shocking them until the National Ambulance Service arrives.
God, it's great work. Now, you spoke to some of the volunteers who've been with that group for a few years, and how did they describe all of this? How much of a commitment is involved, I suppose, firstly?
Yeah, they're great. They meet twice a month formally for that training, and they're part of the group that they get this notification, Claire, from the National Ambulance Service if an incident happens in their area. So they tell you that they can be anywhere when the call comes, right? One of the women is saying to me, you know, it's great when you're on the roster because then you just say near to base, because you really don't want to be in the supermarket with like your fish fingers in the queue watching them sort of defrosting as you get the call, you know? So it is a remarkable commitment for all of the volunteers. And here's some of them start describing their work to me. We're going to hear from Anne Brennan, then Fiona O'Brien, and then Paul Phelan, who won a major Volunteer of the Year award last year. Okay, now Anne, you're about to start pumping there. Go.
Okay. And one, and two, and three, and four, and five, and six. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
How do you feel? You've just finished doing your first lot.
Yeah,
it's a workout, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. It gets tiring, but it's okay.
I couldn't believe how physical it was for you there. That's incredible.
I have a family and Newbridge is growing and I just wanted to do something. I wanted to volunteer in the community and I picked this.
You could have sat in the charity shop, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you have picked a kind of a tough gig here.
Well, I suppose it's a benefit as well, and, you know, it's good to have. So I had to do maybe six or seven online courses. Then the training coming together is the best thing. You learn something new every time you come training.
Well, I've always done a bit of voluntary work, so a friend of mine suggested it, and I am an unlikely candidate. I have three boys, they've all grown up now, but when they were young they got into lots of scrapes, and I really wasn't calm in a crisis. I so wasn't. But it's surprising that you think it mightn't be for you, but you're trained so well and you kind of go into autopilot.
That moment when you walk into a house in crisis?
Yes, like when we were first trained, you would go with somebody who was more experienced, and then as time goes on you become a lot more confident, and there's a job to be done, so you're just concentrating on the person that needs help.
You're giving something back to your community. You're there when they're at their most vulnerable. It's not that I'm an adrenaline junkie. I just like to do it. I don't really like talking about this because the lobby gene me or whatever. I've been lucky enough where I've brought five people back, with, of course, other people there, but I've been involved in five of them.
What is that like?
Like, we send them off with a pulse along with the paramedics. They get to the hospital. Normally we don't hear how they are, but it's brilliant. It's hard to explain how you feel after it. Like,
and when you say you brought somebody back, like, do you mean they started breathing again, or yes, you got a pulse back?
Yeah. There was one particular individual, I knew they were coming back because I could feel the resistance on their chest when I was doing chest compressions. Their heart was starting to, you know, and when you're at it a while, you kind of pick up all these tips and stuff.
You've gone home knowing that's how you've spent your evening.
Yeah, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant, and you're embarrassing me now.
Now, the group you met up with there in Newbridge, they've all chosen to train in this really important work, but it's a big commitment. So what did they say to you, Evelyn, about why they decided to volunteer?
It's funny, I was saying to people, you know, you could be anywhere tonight. Why are you here? Why this kind of group? And there was such a range of answers. But the main thread, Claire, was that many of the people I spoke to just said we had a cardiac arrest or a heart attack in our family. And they talked about feeling powerless maybe afterwards and how this was just a way for them to help others. And it was actually very moving, just striking to see how they were motivated to sign up because they just wanted to help. So here are two of the volunteers, Adrian Harkin and Amber Keogh. Tell me more.
I lost a brother to cardiac arrest. It's something, I suppose, a bit personal to me. I just want to prevent, I suppose, anybody else feeling the way I did when that happened. I just didn't want anybody else going through what we had to go through, kind of. And if I could stop one person dying from a cardiac arrest, why not?
But, I mean, that's a few years ago now, and you keep turning up, so there's obviously something about the work that you enjoy as well.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I just think it's the best feeling ever if you can save someone, like, you know.
So you fit this in around your real jobs and your other commitments?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I don't want anybody else to feel the way I felt at that time, like, kind of, so I just do it and I get a buzz out of it. Best thing ever I did.
Your brother, were you with him when he collapsed?
No, I wasn't. He actually died just outside the hospital. He was very well treated in the hospital and everything, and so I kind of realised no matter who's treating or what treatment they get, there's always a chance that they will just pass away anyway, but if I can stop someone passing away, then it was worth it.
My dad died of a cardiac arrest in 2014. My mother died of an aneurysm in her lung. I wanted to help them, do something to help others that I couldn't do to help my parents.
And it's that simple for you?
It's that simple for me. But it took me until last June. We have a festival here every June called June Fest. And Newbridge CFR had a gazebo and they were showing CPR. And I said to my husband, well, that's what I want to do. I think it's just something to help the community. My kids were grown up. My baby is now 12. I just wanted to do something for me. And this is what I did.
You respond.
I'm ready to go. Yeah.
What is it about that call?
It's just adrenaline. Just go. Just you're going to help someone. We're there to reassure them. We're here to make sure they're all right. And if something changes, we can ring the ambulance service and say, listen, you need to put blue lights and sirens on. You need to get down here now. We make a difference.
Now, you had to give this a try yourself. It worked, I see.
I haven't stopped singing it. Yes, and it's very tiring, Claire. It's very hard work because you're trying to do 120 compressions in a minute and I was wiped out, I'll be honest with you. But the other message I got from the night is they just want to give people confidence. Like, if somebody collapses and you're waiting for help and it's serious, very serious situation, don't panic, easy to say, I know. But they're kind of like going, try CPR. After all, at that point, you know, what's the worst that can happen? So I learned that. I learned that you do it. I thought it's staying alive. That's still
absolutely
valid.
Absolutely, and that's much better. I don't want baby shark in my head all day. Thank you very much.
The millennials like baby shark.
Okay.
So nowadays you can always go into the dreaded baby shark. Very effective soundtrack. But if people want to find out more about all this and join the 250 groups across the country, you can visit becomeacfor.ie. And 16th of October, very soon, is Restart to Heart Day. And there'll be so many activities happening for all that. So firstly, now we're going to hear from Liam Stewart. He's the Community Engagement Officer from the National Ambulance Service. And then I give the poor old mannequin a bit of a go.
So I'm one of the community engagement officers, and one of our main roles is to improve the chance of survival of out-of-hospital cardiac arrest in Ireland. So if they collapse and they're not awake and they're not breathing, we try and help make sure that people ring 999 or 112, that they go and fetch a defibrillator and that they start CPR. That buys time for my colleagues who are on the road to get there, and groups like community first responders like we have here, and then a number of GPs, about 200 ambulance service staff are set up to respond to calls off duty. In fact, well over 200 ambulance service staff, and if they're free, they'll go and attend the call. So in total we have around 3,000 volunteers, and they might turn up at your door if you need help.
And is this something you'd love to expand?
Absolutely. Across the country, some of the feedback we get isn't just about the clinical intervention, it's about the soft skills that CFRs bring. They know the people, they get the cats and dogs locked up to help pack the hospital bag, open the gates, make space for the paramedics to get in. So there's loads of benefits to the community. There's a friendly face to help who has local knowledge, who can let people know what's going on. And it's not just clinical people. Most of our community first responders have no medical background. It's the local butcher, the postman, homemaker, the teacher. But then we have doctors in some groups as well, so we have a wide variety of members.
Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is you're going to check and see if the patient responsive. So give him a good old bang on the shoulders, wake him up, see if after he's fallen asleep or whatever.
You really mean wake him up, don't you? Like, come on,
that's
hello.
It, wake him up. That's it. Okay. So he's not waking up. So you ring 999 or 112. The simplest way to check and see if he's breathing is just put your hand in his chest and see if you find a rise and fall. Make sure that he has a clear airway. Put your hand in his forehead and his chin. Move the head slightly backwards. Well, you're going to put your shoulders over your elbows, over your wrists. Put your hand, okay, in the middle of his chest. Press hard, fast and deep. You're looking for 120 compressions per minute and you're looking to go down 2 to 2.5 inches.
And I can't laugh.
And you're going to start counting.
You want me to do this 120 times?
And I want you to sing Staying Alive by ABBA.
Baby
or Baby Shark.
Are you serious, Baby Shark?
Oh, yeah. The beat.
Baby Shark. Did you do the 120 in a minute? No, I sang, right? Okay. Yeah. And I couldn't sing and do them at the same time and record, okay? It was a really busy thing. But who knew that Baby Shark could save your life?
Well, look, I also noticed that you picked Baby Shark over Staying Alive. So I think that says a lot about you, and we will remember that. Evelyn, thank you very much. And thanks to our volunteers in Newbridge too. Coming up next, the tax take on drink is close to being the highest in Europe. So should the government cut excise rates on booze? That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.